This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Matthew Carl Earl, and I'm really looking forward to having a chance to talk with you about the music that you've written for Arena of Valor. So welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
This is such an interesting game because it's been huge in China, something like 55 million players, and it was released in December for North America. And you know, I'm always curious about how a composer gets attached to a studio or a game. And so why don't we start with that? How did you come to be writing the music with Hexany Audio for Arena of Valor?
I've worked with Hexany Audio for a little over, I think, 3.5 years now. And, you know, we just do tons of stuff. And then with Tencent, the studio that makes Arena of Valor, we've worked with them for a number of years as well, like two and a half years or something like that, maybe even 3 years. So, yeah, we work on all kinds of their games. And when they asked us to work on Arena of Valor, which is a spinoff of their Honor of Kings, which is like their flagship, like, holy crap, this is the hugest game in the world title. I was like, wow, that's super cool. We get to work on this. And then other games like Moonlight Blade 2, when the audio director at Aurora asked me to write music for Moonlight Blade, I was like, oh, my God, because I saw that game and I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to work on that game so bad. It looks so cool and beautiful. So.
Yeah, and both of these must be just like right on point for you, because I know you just really love fantasy games. So it must be really fun to be working on music for games that you would love to play yourself.
Totally. And yeah, and I mean, when I really decided why I wanted to be a game composer more than anything else, I was playing like World of Warcraft and things like that, these big fantasy MMOs, whereas like you're just in this huge world and there's all these fantastical things going around. And that was what I was like, oh, I want to do that. So it's really cool that I can do that now.
Yeah, for sure. What was it, you know, specifically about the music for WoW that like really hooked you?
I really like the wide range of like, not styles, because actually the style of Warcraft, I think, is very like, you can like pinpoint it and be like, oh, that sounds like Warcraft. But like it goes over so many different like genres, I guess you could say, where it's like all the different zones and the way they do things and with their orchestration. And I've always really liked how they implement their music they record it in stems and then they'll play it back in like different combinations of stems. So you like for analyzing and studying the music, it's really easy because they have it like broken down. Like you can just hear like the woodwinds play by themselves in a certain zone and things like that. So
yeah,
I was very heavily inspired by that stuff.
It's very cool. And I love how occasionally the team will just slip in this just straight ahead classical piece. I remember with the Burning Crusade expansion, all of a sudden there was like a Chopin nocturne all orchestrated. Oh, yeah. And stuff. It's so gorgeous.
Yeah, very cool. And then also just the really subtle use of like thematic content, I think, is so cool. I mean, sometimes it's totally not subtle, but like back in like Warcraft 3, like the Frozen Throne thing, when Arthas like kills his father, the music that plays there. And then when they released the Lich King expansion and the cinematic had that theme with the solo boy singing it, I was just like, oh my God. Like, I love that kind of stuff. The little nostalgic theme callbacks that arc over an entire world and not just like a little 2-hour movie or something like that. It's like they're part of the world.
Yeah, and it's neat. And they do such a great job, you know, as so many games do, with keeping the music fresh through the, well, in some cases, hundreds of hours of gameplay, which is just really incredible. How many hours altogether did you write for Arena of Valor?
Probably around 30 minutes to 45 minutes. Because there's a ton of composers working on that game. So, and
wow.
And because it's like a mobile competitive game, it doesn't need as much as like something like an MMO would. Like, whereas like Moonlight Blade, that game's got, who knows, hundreds of hours of music in that game. I've written almost 4 for that game. So just myself, and there's many composers working on it. So yeah, depending on the scope of the game, it needs a lot of music, but those
yeah.
MMOs sure need a lot.
Yeah, that's for sure. One of the things I wanted to ask you about Arena of Valor, because it's for mobile platforms and then the Nintendo Switch, so it would seem as though you don't have, you know, the great big canvas of a music that's going to be played on a console. So because of the smaller scale of the platform, did that affect any decisions that you made about the kind of music or the sound of music that you were going to write?
Well, whenever they are on mobile, we'll always test through the iPhone or Android or whatever mobile speakers just to make sure there's no weird frequencies popping out. But with this style of game and the style of music that it demands, it's like we can't really compromise and be like, oh, we're going to have like a really small ensemble because it's going to be on mobile, when this is like an earth ending competitive, like, like crazy huge game that's supposed to be really epic, you know? So it's really designed for like when people have headphones on and are really experiencing the whole thing and really playing this game and not so much the casual side. But we do test and make sure that there's no weird surprises when it is played out of a phone, because that does happen all the time. Like if there's too many high frequencies or too many low frequencies, it can do some weird things.
Wow, that's really interesting. I hadn't thought about that particular thing. I was thinking more about the scale of the orchestra, that kind of thing. But
oh, okay. Well, the scale was large.
Yeah, I can. Well, like you mentioned that, you know, it's a MOBA game, Arena of Valor. So what are some of the, I guess, the things that you have to think about that make writing for a MOBA game different, besides just the epic length of all the music? Are there different ways of approaching, like, the battle music and that kind of thing?
I think so. It's very gameplay focused. So it's really not, like, about the music as so much as, like, oh, this is trying to create an atmosphere, which it is, but it's also about creating, like, a competitive atmosphere and not just, like, the world building. But it's also, like, you want people to feel hot-blooded, like, yeah, I'm gonna destroy this other team, you know? So like when things happen, like you destroy a tower and the music goes to like the next level of intensity, you really want them to feel like hot blooded and be like, yeah, let's do this. So
that's very cool, because you know, it is such an integral part of the gameplay. And so of course you want it to be, you know, just right in there helping people, you know, like ramp up their feelings and stuff. I was really surprised to learn that over 50% of the game players in China are women. So you must be like really tapping into some empowerment, I think, maybe that a lot of games don't.
Oh yeah, and a really interesting fact on that too. When we go over to China and we meet with the game teams and stuff, I'm always surprised by the amount of women working in games over there. It's insane. Like, and we've kind of boiled it down to where we think it's like the cultural thing, where it's like women are like heavily encouraged to participate in arts like music and you know, like painting and things like that. Whereas like the men, you know, they're like kind of encouraged to shy away from that and do more like business things, which ends up becoming really fruitful in the game industry, because you have all these women that are incredible musicians and sound designers and stuff like that. And they actually make up the majority of these music teams and art teams and stuff. It's really wild, actually.
Wow.
So it's like the opposite problem over there as over here. We were actually talking with one of the audio directors and she was saying like, yeah, we're trying to incentivize more men to join the team, which is just so wild, because that's just the complete opposite of the problems we've got here. So
yeah, that'd be an interesting problem to have.
Very interesting. Yeah.
I was going to ask you if you've noticed, you know, a lot of differences or any with working for a Chinese developer rather than working with a Western developer.
It's not so much where it's like, oh, we're writing a game for China, so we're going to do all these, check all these boxes and making sure it's like, oh, it's a Chinese music. But it's the types of games being released in China, often they do have the traditional Chinese tinge to them. Like Arena of Valor, it's very, very subtle. But they have a couple characters that are more like traditional Chinese, and that will in turn like influence the music and will like incorporate a couple traditional Chinese elements. And then there's games like Moonlight Blade, which is like very like shameless. It's like fantasy, but it's set in like China, and like the places in the fantasy world are actually real places. They're just done up all fantasy, you know, but the real places in China. So that's got a very traditional Chinese sound to it.
I noticed that they did a lot of localization when Tencent got ready for kind of a worldwide launch of Arena of Valor. And they brought in some Western kind of fantasy characters. You could play as Batman or Wonder Woman. So yeah. did that affect how you wrote the music as well?
Yeah. I remember when we got right when you open the game, it plays an intro cinematic. And I did the music for that. And when they sent the cinematic over, and it was going through all the characters, and it was like having these cool, like, flashy things and trailer music playing and stuff. And then, like, Batman shows up and you're like, whoa, that's Batman. We thought that was hilarious. But yeah, totally. It's the game does have like a more global reach to it because of that. And like the music is not like inherently Chinese really at all. Like in that game, it's very just like hybrid, epic fantasy orchestral stuff, hot-blooded PvP, like that's really like the goal of it. And like Jason Walsh from our team, he wrote a lot of like cool dubstep things for their competitions and the what they call the King Pro League and things like that. And so yeah, it's more about that hot-blooded competitive atmosphere than is anything else.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I really just picked up on right away was the second anniversary theme for Honor of Kings, because it's got such a light touch. It doesn't have, you know, like that really kind of
churning. It stands out from the game.
Yeah, it sure. Definitely does. Is it kind of an outlier with the rest of the music in the game?
Well, yeah. What happened with the second year rolled up of Honor of Kings, and the director at Teamy Studios, the music director, Sean, he asked me, he's like, hey, I want to do like a revamp of some of the themes from the game. So he chose one. And then he gave me one, which was the War Song of Kings, which was written by Thomas Parrish and Miles Hankins, which is just a really awesome, like, heroic, epic piece with a really beautiful melody. And we wanted to take that and kind of turn it into like a almost like Alan Menken, like Disney lighthearted animation sound. And like the login screen for it was like these cute little animals with like a birthday cake. And it was like a big kind of like cute celebration thing. So I got to take this like really epic, heroic thing and kind of make it like a fun animation but still be kind of fantasy and epic stuff. So that was really fun to do.
Yeah, I bet. And it sounds like it was fun because you put some really just, you know, kind of one-off really neat instruments in there. There's a harmonica in there for a little bit. And okay. So it's just a really nice blend. So with working with Tencent, do they give you a budget so that you can record real orchestras?
Yeah, often they do. With another game I did with the same studio, Teamy, King of Chaos, we just went last month to Salt Lake City, and we recorded about 20 minutes of music with full orchestra there, and that was super, super cool. And it was for like a seasonal update, so we did like a bunch of like winter, we took the music from the game and kind of rearranged it and made it all wintry and slightly with a tinge of Christmas into it with like boys choir and bells and, you know, things like
that.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. It sounds really wonderful.
Yeah. There's a lot of this last year, I've done a lot of Christmas updates for my games. I was shocked. Like, I haven't experienced that in the past. But this year, like, I felt like every single game I was working on was like, hey, we're going to do Christmas versions of the music, which I loved. Like, I really, really like writing in that Christmassy style. So,
yeah, well, and I love how you kind of nailed all the iconic things like the bells and the children's choir and all of that. And so that's really cool. You know, we've talked a bit about the music for WoW and your music for Arena of Valor and some other fantasy games. And I would just love to know, you know, in your mind, what makes great fantasy music?
It's almost like hard to pinpoint, because there are these fantasy games that, you know, you don't think of them as like high fantasy. You know, there's not like elves or anything, but it's like, but they're still fantasy. And there's something really like unique about the music that sticks out and is like, wow, this is like, like, I haven't heard anything like this before, but I really like it. Like, that's always really cool. And then there's like the other side where it's like the high fantasy, where it's like there's almost an expected sound for it. And if you don't do that sound, it's like, it's almost like it's wrong. But it's really, really cool when you're in that high fantasy genre and you hear something that still nails that character, but it's somehow fresh and unique and cool. And that's another thing I've really liked about WoW, where they'll do things like a cappella choir. Like very few games, I feel, are doing like the a cappella choir thing. I know Jessica Curry in her Everybody's Gone to the Rapture score did a lot of the a cappella choir, and that was like mind blowing. I heard
yeah.
that score. And was
oh,
just,
it's
like,
it's record. Stunning. I know. I still think about it because it's just, you know, I play it for friends and I don't tell them it's from a game, and then they're just astonished. So
it just sounds like John Rutter or like,
yeah,
so
yeah.
It's incredible, like sacred sounding music. It's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you've written some really spectacular works for Chorus. I'm Acquainted with the Night just like jumped out at me on your SoundCloud page because it's got this really amazing early English simplicity. And so I'm just wondering what is the context for that one? Was it intended for a game or just kind of an exercise for writing some choral music?
My biggest love of like music has been choral music, and like my first opportunities of like writing music really was in my high school. I sang in the choir and I was befriending the director of the choir, and I got to write some music for the choir and like conduct some stuff. So, and I always just thought it was super cool, like Eric Whitaker stuff, and then like early Renaissance, like William Byrd and Thomas Tallis. Is like, I just love that stuff so much, but it doesn't pop up very often in games where I get a chance to write choral music. So on the weekends, sometimes I'll just get bored and like multi-track my voice doing some choir stuff. Like, I do that fairly often, maybe like once a month or once every 2 months, I'll just record. And I usually don't release them. I'll just record something like a minute long and be like, oh, that was fun. And then, it's gone. But I did like the Acquainted with the Night one. I just pulled a Robert Frost poem because I don't feel like I'm a great lyricist. So I took that Robert Frost poem, Acquainted with the Night, took the first couple of phrases and just kind of set it to the music and recorded it, and yeah, just kind of did that in one afternoon. But
I have a
Wow.
But yeah, I'm glad you like it.
I think it's just gorgeous. And I mean, I don't know, but I hope that you have a chance at some point to write choral music for a game, because I think you'd be like really fabulous at it.
Oh, I've always wanted to. That's been one of my thing. I've always had the idea of like, oh, I want to do a whole game a cappella chorus. And that's why when Everybody's Gone to the Rapture came out, I was like, are you kidding me? She just did it. There it is. That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, it's really amazing. It's hard to do. I think writing for chorus is a lot different from just writing for instruments. I mean, have you found that?
Yeah, but there's also the thing about chorus where, like, because there's the addition of vowels and lyrics, you can do some things that you can't do with like any other instrument combination. Like, you can do some really nasty, horrible things with choir and it'll sound incredibly beautiful. And it like wouldn't sound great on like a string ensemble or something like that. I feel like choir, like, there's just something unique about the voice where it's like, it's God's organ, you know, it's like, it's like a really powerful, like, spiritual instrument. It's super cool.
Yeah. And I also think it's really cool that you list Tuvan throat singing as one of your musical skills. I don't know anyone outside Mongolia who does that. And it's such an unusual talent. So I would love to know, I mean, how did you learn it?
I mean, just being a weirdo, I guess. But I've listened to all kinds of like world music, and there's a group called Hunher Tu from Mongolia.
I've seen them in concert. They're incredible.
It's very cool. Yeah, very cool stuff. And like, I've always thought that was neat. And in like World of Warcraft too, like the trolls, when you go to like their islands and they have like the whistle, like throat singing sound and stuff, I've always thought that was so cool. I'm like, what is that sound? So like when I finally found what that was, I'm like, oh, that's a human making that sound. I'm like, I want to know how to make that sound. So I was doing a lot of research into that, and it was great, because when I worked on Iron Knight, that game takes place in ancient Mongolia, and that was just like perfect.
Oh yeah.
And so I got to do some throat singing for that, and that was a lot of fun.
Is it hard to learn?
Yeah, with certain things, like the motor in the throat is kind of a thing that I kind of discovered on accident, honestly, from like metal, you know, from like screaming in metal and stuff like that. And I accidentally kind of developed that skill, and I'm like, oh, wait, that's what these people are doing. But then the high-pitched harmonic, like when you're singing with the overtones, like it's tough to like really nail it down and be pure. But I can at least get it to where I can record it and use it. But I'm not like great like some of the people that can really, really do it, where they're singing these beautiful melodies with just overtones and doing trills and the like. It's incredible.
That's very cool, though. The only other game that I know of that used it was Siberia 3. Enon Zur had some in there, and he actually had to kind of reproduce it with samples and stuff. So you should get in touch with him and let him know that you're available.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, I made a sample instrument of my voice doing a couple of them, too, so I can throw it in.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, I think it's interesting that you actually didn't intend to become a game composer necessarily, but because you wrote music for a college girlfriend's game and you got some great feedback, that kind of set you on the road to becoming a game composer, right?
Yeah, totally. And yeah, that girlfriend's now my fiance.
Oh, actually. Congratulations.
Thank you. We got engaged last month.
Oh, that's awesome.
So But yeah, actually, games was really kind of the focus. It was like concert music or video games. And I thought video games were like the next closest thing to concert music, honestly, because it was a little more separated from the linear picture, like film and stuff like that. So that was kind of what I had my mindset on. But I was playing so many games and I loved video games so much that it kind of naturally went in the video game direction. That was just kind of my first opportunity where I was doing some film and trailer work. But that was my first opportunity to like move over and do video games, which is what I always really, really wanted to do.
Yeah, I've talked to some composers who've made the jump from film and TV to game music, and they find that it's a really steep learning curve because it's so different. And so as you were starting up, because writing music for games was kind of what you wanted in the first place, did you have a pretty easy time, you know, figuring out how to arrange the music and writing stems and layers and loops and that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, that's part of like the fun challenge of video games. Mm-hmm. And like when I was really getting serious with like, oh, I want to learn about video game development and audio and stuff like that, I started to learn a little bit more about sound design and like the tools that are used in video game music, like Wise and FMod. And I would download that and watch all the YouTube videos and kind of learn that stuff and write little mock-ups for myself before I was even working on games of, you know, how to do the layering music and the branching music and stuff like that. And that's the really fun thing. I love working in Wise and kind of designing these interactive music systems for the software, because you don't get that in any other medium.
Yeah, that's true. And it's so interesting to take what seems like a pretty basic melody or sometimes even just a rhythm track and be able to expand it and then put layers on top of it. And I was talking recently with a composer who said he works backwards. He gets like the full-blown end of the boss battle music first, and then he just works backwards and like takes layers out until he gets back to the beginning of a track. I thought that was a really interesting way of working.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there are certain things like that to where like I've never liked writing the main theme first, because I've always liked it to like organically develop throughout the game. Like I'll come up with ideas and there'll be like reoccurring ideas and themes that'll attach to certain things in the game. And then when I have all that and I come back and write the main theme, it can almost be like an overture of all these themes, you know, like I have all of these cool ideas that I can throw in. And that's how I did King of Chaos. And I really like how the main theme turned out, because it goes through all the themes in the game. Like there's no like new material introduced in the main theme. That's like all rehashed stuff just into like one big suite.
Thank you.
I don't always get to do that. A lot of times I do start with the main theme and then use the themes from that to create the rest of the music. But I do like to work the other way around.
Yeah, no, that's really cool because then you kind of know where you're going right at the beginning. I mean, the piece that you write for the beginning, you already know where you're going. So,
yeah.
What do you do to kind of get ideas flowing when you've got to come up with a main theme and then come up with all the other music for a game?
Art is always like super helpful. Art and story. Like if I read through a story and I see some art and kind of get an idea for the aesthetic, usually that'll like have like early ideas going on, and then I can like play piano and kind of figure out some ideas. And I'll usually take a day or two, a couple days, like thinking about it. And I actually have a really long commute to work. I drive like an hour and a half one way. And that gives me a ton of time to really like think about things and just silence. And then if I have like an idea, I'll either like say it into my phone or like sing a melody or something like that. And then I can pull that out later. And, you know, it's a combination of things like that.
Yeah, that's really interesting, though. And I would imagine that art would give you more ideas than anything. I mean, developers can talk till they're, you know, blue in the face and they run out of words. But unless you see the actual art and you can see what they have in mind, that must be like really, really helpful.
Yeah, so, totally.
So and what are some of the tools that you use, resources, I guess, you know, books or videos or composers that you follow that help you kind of just make your writing better?
There's just an infinite amount of like incredible composers.
Yeah,
it's like you can throw, like, especially in Los Angeles, like you throw a rock and you hit like a fantastic composer. So like listening to everybody's stuff helps me a lot. And then going through YouTube and watching, like, Junkie XL does a whole series of videos where he explains his rig, and that's very cool. And John Powell will often upload his scores and go through with like MIDI and stuff. And that's really cool to see. Always the masters and the greats like Stravinsky and Mozart. I'd like to buy a ton of scores and do some score study and, you know,
yeah.
Just a lot of things. I collect a lot of instruments and listen to world music from all over. And you can always find something cool, especially like when you get into the Far East and like India and Middle East, there's just like stuff you've never heard before. So
yeah,
very inspiring.
Well, and what's so cool about that too is that you can watch somebody and hear them play it on YouTube now, which I think is just really amazing.
Yeah, the amount of knowledge that's just available at your fingertips is insane. Like I was just watching this video like a couple weeks ago that was it was explaining like the differences between the scales of like Iraqi, Persian, and like like North African scales or something like that. But it was talking about like which notes are flatted a little bit more. And it's just like, what? Like that stuff has never been in a textbook before, ever, I assume.
Yeah.
But here's a YouTube video of a guy explaining it in English. Like
that's incredible. And the cool thing about that, too, is that you can hear it. I mean, that's so much more different than reading about it, like you say, in a textbook. So that's very cool. You know, you're well established now as a composer, and I'm wondering if you've got some suggestions for anyone who wants to get a career in game music going.
I've always said, like, be ready, because it's always super random, like, how people get their start in the game industry. Like, I mean, I did that thing for the school's game, and then that would brought me to my first clients, and then I applied for the job at Hexany, and then I was the first employee there, and then kind of just stayed here for a couple of years, and I love it here. But just people need to like have everything ready to go for when somebody does ask, like, oh, hey, can I hear some demos for this? Because I would love to have you score my game. Like, have everything ready and be like, bam, here you go. And they'll be like, holy crap, you're amazing. And then they'll hire you.
Wow.
Stuff like that. To where, like, but then there's the opposite problem where people are always trying to shove their music in other people's faces. And I've always found that was slightly detrimental, because then you just end up kind of being annoying. So it's like, just settle down and be friendly, and then just have everything ready to go to really knock people away when they ask for it.
Wow. That's great. I haven't heard anyone put it in those, you know, spin it that way, but that's really sensible. And because, yeah, you never know when that offer is going to come. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Matthew, it's been so much fun to talk with you. I really have enjoyed, you know, getting a view of the music that you're doing for Tencent. And I really appreciate your time.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.